Lord, we thank you for a praying church. Thank you, the Holy Spirit is in us, with us, on us, guides us. Lord, we don't care about many things that you care about. And we know you can change. You can show us by your word what you care about. And we can follow you. You care about souls, about people depressed, people in fear. You care about people that are filled with demons, that are unholy, ungodly. You care about people, the worst. You care, Lord, thank you for helping us, leading us, Lord. Help us hit the target in life, Lord. Help us hit the target. Help us hit the point, the meaning, the valuable thing, the important thing. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Thank you that we are here. We got in our cars. We came. It's in our schedule. We put it in our lives. It's a main part of life for us to be here. We are here. We thank you, God, as long as we live and we are able, we are showing up. We are showing up because you care about the church, you care about the brothers and sisters, and we care about you and your heart and your mind. Yes, God. All our sisters and brothers around the world, yes, Lord, that are assembling and looking around and thinking what's important. What's important? Yes, Lord. Thank you for helping us, Lord. We would not stand without you, God. We would trust you with all our hearts. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. Hey, great. Awesome. Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, Gospel of Luke. And we are in chapter 8. Let's see. International students, Bible college students, that are international. They came here to go to Bible college. Just, would you stand up? You're here to go to Bible college. You got Paul from Hungary, Isaac from Brazil, okay, Yone from Romania, Anu from Toronto, Pastor Sejin from South Korea. Awesome. Okay. Yeah, Daniel from Romania. Great. Thank you very much. You are here and have brought a blessing, Yoni. You have brought a blessing here. Thank you. We are blessed by your faith. Yeah, great. Thank you. You may be seated. Then I was thinking about the Midnight Express with Ray, Pastor Ray, and the van, right? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And helping people. Going out and blankets and food, and he has his car packed. He's waiting for the van. So are we. The van. And the car is packed, and he goes there with the food and the blankets and everything. Have you ever been in a bad place? Have you ever been way down low? Have you ever been depressed, discouraged, lost, maybe demon-possessed even, that's possible in the audience. Maybe on the edge of destruction, maybe sleeping under a bridge without a job, without money. Have you ever had sores all over your body? Swollen liver, swollen extremities. Have you seen people like that? Have you ever thought about them in this way? In Luke chapter 8, verse 26. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Maybe we have not seen people this bad. Maybe you have. I've seen people in different parts of the world in a lot of trouble. Maybe they're so dirty you wouldn't touch them. Maybe you want them to go away the other side of the street. Get out of here, right? I don't want to be here. I don't want to go to them. I don't want to see them. I don't have anything to do with them. They are the throwaways, the people that are destitute, the throwaways. But look at it, the story. They aren't throwaways. They aren't. They aren't. They're valuable. They're children. They're not born again children of God, but they are made in God's image. And that image is somehow tarnished. They are lost. Their souls, the power of the devil, the destruction of their very life. They're on the edge. They could drop dead any minute. They are bad. They are evil. They are throwaways. They are in bad shape. But then read it with me, verse 28. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of God?" He got that right, Most High. Do you know that demons get it right? They are more spiritually minded than people. And the devil got it right there. Though he's a liar, and these demons are spirits that are evil, but they recognize the Son of God and said, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, thou Son of God?" Maybe you have heard that when you have been soul winning also. What do you have to do with me? I don't care about that. I'm not a religious person. I'm not interested in you or what you're saying. Forget it. There is no connection. Look at verse 28. "I beseech thee, torment me not." Imagine a demon crying out for mercy. "Have mercy on me." Do you know what? I think maybe that those demons knew that Jesus is merciful. He said, "I beseech thee, I plead with you, give me mercy." Another way, he actually said, "Torment me not," but another way, "Give me mercy. I want mercy from you." These are demons talking through the man. Verse 39. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." All I'm saying tonight, very simply, is that what is on God's heart, what is it that God is caring about, What is he seeking? What is he looking for? His people. What is on God's heart? What is he looking for? What does he want to do? What could he do every day if he had his way on this earth? It would be about people on a certain level reaching people. He cares about people. He is the God of the world, and the world is filled with people, all kinds of people, common people. Like Martin Luther said, God must love common people. He made so many of them. People. People with problems, people that are messed up, people that are demon-possessed, people living in the tombs, people that are in prison, people that are evil, people that are indifferent, people that are could care less, people that are dumb and stupid, like many of us are. And they have no sense of what is important. They don't know what's important. They live their life, and nobody ever really talks to them, or the Spirit is not working in or through and ministering. However, we are sent into this world in the name of Christ, in the nature of Christ, with the message of Christ, and we have the power of Christ. Read it with me, please. 30. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. Let's get together and have prayer, because devils are in people. Many devils are in some people. Let's get together in our prayers. It's a cold winter day. It's a perfect time to get warm in our hearts and in faith and in prayer and ask God and gather together in these days and weeks and months and have times when we hear in our heart from God and see God stir in us and use us and open our mouth that we would make known the mystery of Christ, the anointing of Christ, the ministry out of the box, the ministry of Christ. This is a story that is out of the box, because Christ was on the west side of the lake. And he told the disciples, "We got to go get in the boat and go on the other side." And so they went over there where there was this man, and there were also pigs over there. And it was Jewish people, of course. That's like not right. But over there on the other side, it was more desolate area, part of the topography. But he said, "Let's go." I like sometimes to get on the move. It's how I get refreshed. It's sometimes I'm looking for that person, or you're looking for that opportunity. You get yourself into the place of anticipating the position of anticipation, the attitude of participating with God in an everyday life. The attitude of, okay, I want to have a vision. I want to prepare myself for what God may be doing today. What is he doing? And in your working place, it might be that you're going to see something, and it might be right there when God is saying, "I want you to care. I want you to spend a little time. I want you to hear. I want you to be there, because I am there, and that this is my work." Okay, go to the next part. It says in verse 31, "They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep." and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. They didn't want to be tormented, cast into hell. I have the impression that if they would be cast into hell, they would be locked there and not to be able to get out, like some spirits are. It's not our time. We are free to be here now. And so we beseech thee, don't cast us into hell and torment us now, but let us be out in the freedom, or in this world, in this dispensation, under these circumstances, be here and cast us into the swine. Because spirits want to take a body. They want to live in a body. The best body to live in is a human being. They could be in a tree or an animal or something like that, for example, but they're limited. But when they have the minds of men and the hands of men and the hearts of men and the feet of men, then they can do their evil work. And we are in a world where that is happening. We are in a world that is evil. For all men have not faith. Men do not have the Holy Spirit. Men are on the road to destruction. Men are perishing. They are on the road, and they find themselves in more and more of a swamp, more and more of unsolved problems and despair. And that's when we come. We come with a clear voice, clear message. We come with prayer behind us. We come with an attitude of deliverance. We have an attitude of open our mouth, God. We come with a message called the gospel. We come in the name of Christ. We come with the Spirit of God. We come as an army. We come as a solution. We come as a ministry. We have been prepared in the body. We have been sharpened, our iron sharpening iron, our gifts honed, our gifts developing and growing up and learning. We are being fed the seed of the word. We are getting ready. We have two talents. Some have five, some have two, some have one. And the one buried his talent. He buried it. Where God is saying, where is the guy that I gave the one talent to? He is over here, Lord. What have you done with the one talent I gave you? I buried it because I knew you're a tough master. And I didn't want to lose it. And the only way I could be sure to keep it, I was nervous about losing it. So I got it here for you. I got it here for you. And he goes, what? I don't want one back. I gave it so you'd invest it and I'd give you another one and get another one and get another one. But you buried it. I needed you. I needed you in Baltimore City. I sent you there. I needed you in Hopkins and the Beltway and up in Aberdeen, and I needed you in Perryville, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. I needed you in the pizza shop. I needed you to share. I needed you to care. I needed you in the prayer room. I needed you on your knees. I needed you in the church. I needed you to attend the church to encourage the pastor. Then I needed the pastor to encourage the church. Then I needed the body member to encourage the body member. And I didn't, somebody said, remember Pastor Stephen said, they said, I couldn't go to church, but I'll be with you in spirit. And the Lord and Pastor said, keep your spirit to yourself. We need, forsake not the assembly. We are in a battle. We are in meaning business. We have something important. This is, in a way, an amazing story. It's in a way crazy, but I would expect God to give us a crazy story because he's like an awesome God. I expect him to tell us about the demons and tell us about the man and tell him about the trouble he's in. And by the way, sometimes the believer's got a deep discouragement, introspection, condemnation that happens in his heart. But that can't happen. You cannot carry that around with you. We need to have a waiting on God. Spurgeon said in one of his sermons, the thing I love, he said, I don't need the ecstasy. I don't need great experiences. I don't need something particularly special. I just love with all my heart to depend on God. That's what I love. With all my heart in every situation, just to depend on God. I don't need great miracles. I just love to depend and trust in God. Trust in God. Bring him into everything. Bring him into the parking lot when you go into a store. Before you go in the store, you're depending on God. You have an attitude of walking with God. You have a ministry. That's all. Let's go there to the story 33. Then went the devils out of the man, entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. You know, if the pigs die, where do the demons go? I don't know, but I mean, I wouldn't expect them to be so long in a dead floating body. But they would leave, and where do they go? Looking for another body, some kind. Looking for people. Looking for a witch. An evil man. A proud man. Looking for a connection. The demons. So the world would have been a better world without these demons. But God is saying, no. The demons are present because I am teaching you. And they are part of your life so that you would know that if you trust in me, you are greater than any spirit that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And I want you to encounter, engage. I want you to cast them out. I want you to minister. I want you to bind the strong man and take out of the house what he's got in there. Because all those candy bars that he's got in the house are not his. That's not his lettuce, not his furniture. That's not his house. I mean, he stole it, and he bound, and he locks the door, and he says, this is my house. And Jesus comes and says, I am greater than you. Give him to me. He is mine. I am stronger than you. He is mine. Say it. Jesus said, I am stronger than you. Say that. I am stronger than you. Jesus said, I am stronger than you. I was sent by my Father. I am stronger than you. Now, let's back off for a second. People. Children, teenagers, people, shut-ins in the hospitals, university students, kids, young people, middle-aged people, adults, older people. And you just say in your heart, we just got to be in the heart. I mean, this is our message tonight. Lord, fill me with your spirit and lead me in ministering and getting outside in my heart and just seeing, where are you? Where's God working? Where is God working in the world? You know, when people leave this stage and they go out on the mission field, you have to say that it's an amazing decision that they make. You have to say they are doing it only because of faith. And then you have to say, God be with them. And then you have to say, God, when you are with them, we really need you to be with them and do this work. And then when they write in those newsletters and they share their testimonies, and you just say, really? Is that God's work? That now there's a Bible college, or now there's a school, now there's an orphanage, or now there's another center, or now there is, really? How? It's like, yeah, that's amazing. They have found Christ. They have found the Bible. They have found faith. They have found the church. They have found the hearing, the listening, the capacity to hear. Verse 34. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus, found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I remember in Azerbaijan, the story up in the mountains, they're all Muslims up there. I mean, the whole country is 99% Islamic. And up in the mountains, this is some years ago, with our people, they went up there, and this woman, what God was moving in her life, she was very interested. And in Islam, sometimes in the more primitive parts, there's a mix of paganism. And they believe God was at this mountain. And it was like a mix of beliefs and so on. And there was bitterness. And this woman had bitterness and an unforgiving spirit. And she got saved and she changed. Like, it's amazing what she changed. And God spoke to her and said, your relatives. And she said, yes, I haven't talked to them for 30 years. And God said to her, you go to that house and you ask for forgiveness and you tell them what I've done for you. And she's thinking, I can't do that. I haven't talked to my family, all those relatives and that part of the family that was divided, that part of the family. I haven't talked for 30 years, but she did it. And she went up to this house and she knocked on the door. And then she said, please forgive me. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God. And he told me to come here and say, please forgive me. I am sorry. Please forgive me. And she did her. And she talked. They wept. They embraced with that woman. The whole thing. And like a revival happened with that fan. Like something happened that came from God. And then it's the city is called, I believe it is Ismaili, and that's where we have a Greater Grace Church there based on that family. And that woman's, I don't know, I think it's her son, Akif, is the pastor of that church in Ismaili. And it was that simple. A woman hearing or seeing the Jesus movie, hearing the gospel, getting saved, and then God telling her and talking to her what to do. Read this with me. It says, verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes round about, besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house show how great things God has done unto thee. He went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. You know, when you go to Bible college and you sit in a class like we are here tonight, when you go to Bible college and the Spirit is moving, you go to Bible college, you start to hear and obey what you hear. When you start to hear it and it goes in your heart, you start to live by what you hear. Now we got a revival going on. That's called a Word of God revival. When you hear the doctrine, you hear the teaching, and it goes in your heart, you start to believe it, and you obey and do what God is saying, then there's no limit to what God does. He pours the Spirit out on those people, and those people lay awake at night so excited. I know the story because when I've been in Baku, this family has come down to from East Mali. Down, they drive down, and we've been to conferences. And then one time I said, I want to go up there. So we got in a car, and we drove up into the mountains some hours. I think it was 5 hours or something. And I was in this little wooden shack with where the church meeting, the meetings were, and we visited people, and I go, how could this happen? This is amazing. And then the story about the woman whose husband had diabetes and his foot was gangrene and it smelled so bad in the house, and he's laying there, and the gangrene is for real, she asked the Muslims to come and pray, and they wanted money for the prayers. And Akif went there and said, I can pray for nothing. Doesn't cost any money. God, and here's some cassette tapes. And she listened to the cassette tapes and became a believer in Jesus. The story goes on. She had gold teeth. This gets crazy. She sold her gold teeth to buy morphine at the drugstore, and she amputated her husband's foot with a razor blade and a pair of scissors. I mean, that's tough living. You ladies think you got problems with your husband? And I remember being in that room. I was with Pastor Drew Wilczek, Chet Marshall. And we went in Budapest. We said we got to bring a wheelchair for this guy to Baku. So we went to the airport line to get our check and our stuff. They said $100 to send the wheelchair. We said $100 for the wheelchair? They go, yes, that's the rules. That's what it'll cost. So, okay, we're not going to do it. So we go around the corner. Chet gets in the wheelchair, puts sunglasses on. We come back around, and we check in. It's free of charge. Okay, so we brought a wheelchair there. And then we said, you know, how much does it... We got to get him to Baku to a hospital to have his leg amputated in the right way. And that's what... I mean, the stories are incredible. The stories are incredible. You know what the point is? That God cares about people. And he's equipped us. And he's called us. And even though I know we have our daily and our routine and our weeks and our months, but sometimes think about it. Get out of your routine. Sometimes go somewhere a few miles out of your routine and sit on a bench and have a prayer and think about others. Maybe go to a nursing home or go out. And you folks are awesome. We're doing awesome. But this is just on my mind. And maybe it's for my sake, too. This is God's work. This is what God is doing. This is God's work. This is what God is doing. You and I are in God's work. Yes, we have our work, our jobs, our families, and everything. I know that is God's work also. If I'm changing diapers at home, that's God's work too. I know. I believe. I know that. But I also am like saying to all of us, let us stretch our hearts. Let us stretch our souls. Let's care about the others. Let's reach out and share a word in season. Let's look for the drug addict. Pastor Butch and the motorcycle guys, they gather on Saturday morning and they go out soul winning with or without motorcycles. It's not the point. But they are soul winners and they're looking for people and reaching them. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing and part of our life. Let's finish it. They said, go away. It's maybe the worst prayer in our Bibles. The worst prayers in our Bibles, when they saw what had happened, the pigs are floating in the water, the man is in his clothes in his right mind, they looking at Jesus say, it's too much for us. Get it. Go away. Go away. We're not used to this kind of craziness. Go away. You're radical, crazy. I don't know what's going on. All I know is that all those pigs are out there floating in the Sea of Galilee, and you did it. Leave us. Go away. And that happens when God is moving. Because people are people of habit. People are people that want things to be normal. But no, God comes into the world, and he's an amazing God, and he wants to save and touch the lives of people. Amen? And then, but then, pray, then they said this. So he says, he sends them back in 39, and then verse 40, and we'll finish. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, and that means he went over and he was there on that side of the Sea of Galilee for a while, and then he returned back to where this happened. After the man had gone around and telling them what he had done for them. Yeah. After he had sowed that seed of like, and they had seen the man, they kind of got used to it, or they understood it. Now he goes back, verse 40, the people gladly received him. Do you know when people don't want you around because of the gospel, don't worry about it. Maybe after a while, go back. Maybe they're waiting for you. Maybe they will now gladly receive you. Maybe they've had a bad experience. Maybe they have been under, you know, maybe something they don't understand. Maybe they are worried or troubled or afraid. It's okay. We understand that. When Jesus left, it's okay. But when he came back, they gladly received him. Let's sow that seed of revival, the Spirit of God in this world. And we will reap. We will sow, but we will also reap. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, it must be that you care. We don't, unless it's about us and our family, then we do. But no, we care. And we really do. We do care. We do. We are here. We care. Pastor Ray is caring. Pastor Kevin Cooper. Pastor Adam. Karen Pivak. Kim Yanowski. Leah Ellis. Many. Kimmy Andrelonis. Lord Julius. We care. The Bible College cares. Pastor Stevens cared. We are followers of you, Lord, and those that you put in our lives so we could care. Those that stumble out of a bar room, Lord, we are sad of what alcohol can do to destroy lives. We are sorry. We care. About depression, we care. About people without a friend. Maybe somehow a little bit different person of some kind facing demons in their lives. And they don't know how to be different. They cannot change. They cannot help themselves. They are in bondage, taken captive. They are different, but we care about them. Jesus cared about them. Jesus cares. He's on a mission. He cares. Please, Lord, help us open our hearts and our eyes to be busy in your great work on this earth. And may these miracles of grace happen everywhere amongst us, even on our property here, and then beyond and beyond, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. We pray for those that went out to Ghana, to Argentina, to Turkey, those that are out on the field tonight, the Saturday outreaches here in Baltimore. How could I be a missionary abroad if I cannot be faithful to the mission here in Baltimore and be committed in my heart to this story and care? Help me, help us, Lord Jesus. And then anyone here not a believer tonight, believe in Christ. You are born again. Yes, it's that simple tonight. Believe in Jesus. Personally, say, Jesus, I believe in you. I trust in you, Lord. Save me. Save me. Thank you in Jesus' name. Anyone saying the prayer, please raise your hand. Anyone at all, say yes to Jesus. Just raise your hand. Anyone at all. Thank you. There's a hand right there. I mean, this little girl. That's Pastor Jerry. Is that your daughter, Pastor Adam? No, who's this little girl? It is? Is it his daughter? Okay. She raised her hand. Give her a hand. God bless you. Okay. Amen.